Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Now, as the vaccine rollout, people are starting to think about going back into the office, and it's going to be great, isn't it, to see all our colleagues again. But, big but, after a year of working on your own, are you ready for the bleeding noises they make? I mean, some of them need to cop on. Neuroscientist and author Brian Penny is back with me now to talk about new evidence on why our brains can't handle the chewing, the slurping and even breathing of other people. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Brian, before we get to the noises that drive us mad at work, how can listeners prepare, you know, for the distraction that lies ahead when they go back to work with, you know, real people?
Do you know what's something that's really vibed with me recently? It's something I heard about the word distraction, and I never knew this. It really jumped out at me. And it's like the meaning of the word distraction actually comes from the word traction, which means to pull you towards something. So what a distraction is to pull you away from something. So I've sort of thought about this in a way that just make sure we need to focus on our work of what we need to do to be pulled towards that, and make sure there isn't things in our environment that's pulling us away from what we want to do. And that includes obviously very annoying noises by certain work colleagues, if that's the case for you.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Tell me, what is, I hope I pronounce this right, misophonia, is that what it is?
Misophonia, yeah. Basically, in layman's terms, it's the hatred of sound. So it's basically a disorder which triggers certain sounds trigger an emotional or physiological response that some people might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstances. Like, it might be just foot traffic in an office. It might be just chewing, not too loudly, but it really impacts some people more than others, especially if you have misophonia.
Okay, so it is a thing, and that feeling of wanting to kill someone eating hula hoops on the next desk is not my fault. It's a condition.
It's a condition.
Wow.
And the one thing that I think is important as well, like, we give these labels, and this is the same with anxiety, depression, all of these labels that we give. Like, it's not black and white. You don't either have misophonia or you don't. Like, our brains and the world is a lot grayer than that. It's not that black and white. So it's on a spectrum really as well. So if you're thinking you might have misophonia, you might have those connections that we're going to chat about. So you might have a touch of misophonia as well. So it's not diagnostic. It's on a spectrum like most things.
Okay. And what are trigger sounds? What do they actually do to your brain?
What do they? So basically, the research, this recent research as well, reveal that people with misophonia, what they have is they have a stronger connection between parts of the brain that processes sound. So that's the sensory cortex, the sensory part of the brain. And there's a stronger connection with that part with the brain that handles mouth and throat and muscle movements. That's the motor part of the brain called the motor cortex. So when we hear a sound, the sensory part of the brain basically fires up, lights up, and you hear a sound. But what they're finding is these recent studies that there's a connection between these areas. So in this way, basically, the trigger sound, let's say loud chewing, for example, it activates the motor area of the brain, even though a person is only listening to the sound. So basically, when we hear other people making annoying sounds, it literally feels like it's intruding into our own heads if you struggle with misophonia.
Okay, so there's a neuroscientific reason to why it actually happens and it can't be helped. Somebody just texted me, Brian, saying my husband won't go to the cinema ever again as the sound of people eating around him drives him insane.
Yeah, it's really weird. And something jumped out at me about this as well. It's like, because sometimes it happens to me. I wouldn't say I struggle with this, but sometimes it happens to me. And what jumped out at me in addiction circles, and this works for any area, there's this an anathema. It's like HALT. It's called H-A-L-T. The word's left me. H-A-L-T.
HALT.
And it basically stands, it's a synonym, is it? Not a synonym.
An acronym.
The word just left me. An acronym,
right.
Yeah. So HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And in addiction circles, it's like the four horsemen of relapse, that right. if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you're more susceptible. And I think that's the same for this kind of loud tune as well. Like, it mightn't bother you one day, but some days it could just really grate on your brain. So I think context plays a key role here as well.
Can any sound be a trigger, Brian? Or is it just eating or tapping your foot or breathing through the nose going to same cause the same reaction? Is it any sound?
It's interesting. Somebody got on to me earlier. They saying I was coming on to chat with you about this. I put up on social and they were talking about what about the sound that babies make. So babies, that's an evolutionary response. So that sort of makes sense because we need to tend to our babies. It ensures the survival of the species. But I think it's different for different people. I suppose your history with that as well, like whether if you had an experience where you went to the cinema and you were really in a bad mood and that really triggered you, that could become just a thing for you. So personally, I don't think any sounds. I think it certain sounds seem to be more annoying than others. Like there's like things that really grate on a lot of people, like chalkboard, scratching on the chalkboard, chewing loudly seems to be a big one. But I think it's really context specific as well. And it's really interesting. I think the really great finding from this research that these neuroscientists in Newcastle found was that they've implicated this area of the brain called the mirror neuron system.
Yeah.
And I remember learning about this in my psychology degree, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. So basically, they found this originally with monkeys because they were able to do better studies with monkeys with their brains and stuff like that. And what they discovered was that if a monkey is picking something up, the picking up neurons, basically, there's neurons for everything in your brain, would activate. They would actually fire. So any action would fire when they take that action. But what they found was that when these monkeys were looking at another monkey doing that same thing, a parallel area of the brain called the premotor cortex fires as well. So basically your brain is firing by just seeing someone doing something. And this is sort of implicated in humans. This is sort of implicated in empathy as well, that we feel the pain of other people when we see them suffering. And it's like if you see someone smiling, you get the feelings of a good smile again. It lights you up and you smile back. And there's these kinds of things. And you think the mirror neuron system could be implicated in this as well, that when you see somebody making or hear someone making that sound, it activates that motor part of your brain as well. And it can be really problematic.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. But why is it good to know? I mean, are they looking for treatments? I mean, would it not be better just to scream at someone to stop making so much noise, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know. And I suppose if you're really susceptible to this and it's causing you a lot of problems. And the funny thing is, what they found out was that misophonia is really quite common. Like, it affects up to 12 to 15% of adults. And it seems to be more common, or at least more severe, in women than men, which is interesting. But many people suffer in silence in case you call them moany, cranky, or stuff like that as well. So I think it's not so much of something that's causing massive, massive problems, but what can you do? That's the thing. And the treatments that they're looking at, like for me, the first thing I think you should do is put in a pair of earphones if you're walking, like put in earplugs. Like,
ta-da! Solved. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Think practical. But I suppose as well, like you can't go to the cinema, like the guy that rang in, you can't go to the cinema and stick in earplugs either. So I think there's around acceptance. So instead of focusing on the actual noises that are causing the problems, I think this is sort of informing treatment that it's actually these we are actually experiencing these things in our own brain. It is intruding onto us, and that's the feelings that are there. You can't deny that. So I suppose like treatments around tinnitus and stuff like that ringing that people have in their ear, there's nothing you can do about it. And the best treatments for that is acceptance. So when you fully accept the situation for it is, the severity and intensity of the harm that's causing ironically decreases. So they're looking at different treatments. This is sort of directing people towards better and different treatments because of this new understanding.
You're all about acceptance, aren't you?
I'm all about acceptance. I really am, Jen.
You're all about that. But can I just go back to really quickly, in case people missed it, your HALT acronym, which I think if you suffer really badly, this will help you manage it or help it be less severe. The HALT acronym that you talked about. Can you just go through that again, Brian, what that was?
Yeah. It's such a good one, and it's not just for misophonia. Like I mentioned,
everything.
It comes from addiction.
Yeah.
It comes from anything you struggle with, basically. And the HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Like it's no surprise that we hear of hangry a lot of the time. Like when you're hangry, that's the HA of the HALT. But lonely and tired. So try to make sure you eat food. Be aware of your triggers around anger. Try to put yourself around people so you're not lonely, and try to get sleep. I'm all about sleep as well at the minute, and I've been reading books a lot about sleep and the impact it can have on us. Like to at least get seven hours to make sure you're not tired as much as you can. Although it's been hard to sleep the last few nights with the warm weather.
It's too hot, Brian. It's too hot. Well, listen, I love talking about sleep. I could talk about sleep all day. So maybe you'll come back in a week or so and we'll have a chat about sleep.
I would love that. I'm obsessed about sleep at the moment. Yeah, definitely.
Great. Okay, Brian, you're an absolute star. Thanks for coming on the show. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye, love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That is Brian Penny, absolute legend. I just want to thank him for talking about misophonia. Do you suffer from that? She's got a text in saying, a girl I sat beside in the call centre ate rice cakes like an actual hamster. Did it wreck your head? Do you have misophonia? Well, remember the HALT acronym. Make sure you're looking after your sleep, you're looking after your food, you're well rested, you're not angry, you're not lonely, and maybe you'll be able to manage those sounds a little bit better. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.